This episode of Intelligent Medicine is brought to you by Healthy Aging, providing you with the unique energy support of Pure NT Factor. NT Factor is the only nutritional formula clinically proven to reduce fatigue, whatever the cause, whether it be age, illness, or just being run down. NT Factor from Nutritional Therapeutics repairs damaged cells and restores healthy bacteria in your digestive tract. Clinical trials have shown NT Factor reduces fatigue by almost half, and it even reverses some symptoms of aging. I've been taking NT Factor for years with a 45-day money-back guarantee of nothing to lose. To order, call 800-982-9158. That's 800-982-9158. Or go to ntfactor.com. That's ntfactor.com.
Welcome to Intelligent Medicine. This is Layla Mutin, your host. I weigh in about once a week here on this podcast on various topics of interest. Your health questions, your concerns, medical conditions, medical nutrition therapy for those conditions. Today, I want to talk to you about a very important micronutrient. It's iodine. But before I get started, just to let you know that you can email me at radioprogram@AOL.com. That's radioprogram@AOL.com. So, iodine, it's important. Are you getting some? Iodine is needed for thyroid hormone production and normal neurodevelopment in utero, in the womb. Yet about 60% of pregnant women worldwide fall short of meeting the World Health Organization's requirements. The WHO also estimates that 31.5% of children around school age and nearly 2 billion people worldwide don't consume adequate amounts of iodine. 75% of total body iodine is stored in the thyroid. And the World Health Organization, the WHO, estimates that more than 30% of the world's population has inadequate iodine intake. Now remember, the statistic I gave you before of 60%, it's 60% of pregnant women worldwide fall short, but 30% of the world's population has inadequate iodine intake. So, let's get into it. Now, when you look at these fact sheets for many micronutrients, it gets really well in depth. So let me dive right in. Iodine is a trace element. It's naturally present in some foods, and I will get into that list a little later in this podcast. It's added to other foods. It's available as a dietary supplement. And iodine is an essential component of the thyroid hormones thyroxine, which is T4, and triiodothyronine, T3. Thyroid hormones regulate many important biochemical reactions, including protein synthesis, enzyme activity, and they're critical determinants of metabolic activity. They are also required for proper skeletal and central nervous system development in fetuses and infants. Thyroid function is primarily regulated by thyroid stimulating hormone, also called TSH, the acronym for thyroid stimulating hormone, also known as thyrotropin. It's secreted by the pituitary gland to control thyroid hormone production and secretion, thereby protecting the body from hypothyroidism and hyperthyroidism. TSH, thyroid-stimulating hormone, secretion increases thyroid uptake of iodine and stimulates the synthesis and release of T3 and T4. And in the absence of sufficient iodine, TSH levels remain elevated, leading to goiter. What is goiter? It's an enlargement of the thyroid gland that reflects the body's attempt to trap more iodine from the circulation and produce thyroid hormones. So we like to see TSH levels optimally between 1 and 2. If your TSH is higher than 2, it means that your pituitary is secreting more thyroid-stimulating hormone in an effort for your thyroid to work properly. That could be an indication of hypothyroidism or the beginning of, you know, below the clinical horizon. Otherwise, your doctor would also look not just at your TSH, but your T3 and T4 levels to see if those are also low. On the other hand, if your TSH is a 0, your thyroid is on fire. It doesn't need any help by your pituitary. And that might be an indication of hyperthyroidism or Graves' disease. Okay? So, iodine also has other physiological functions. We know it plays a role in immunity and has a beneficial effect on mammary dysplasia. We're talking about breast health now, and fibrocystic breast disease. Fibrocystic breast disease has been theorized to be due to inadequate iodine intake. So the Earth's soil contains varying amounts of iodine, which in turn affects the iodine content of crops. In some regions of the world, iodine-deficient soils are common, and that increases, obviously, the risk of iodine deficiency if you're consuming foods from those areas or you live in those areas. Salt iodization programs, which many countries have implemented, have dramatically reduced the prevalence of iodine deficiency worldwide. So, when iodine enters circulation, the thyroid gland concentrates it in appropriate amounts for thyroid hormone synthesis, and most of the remaining amount is excreted in the urine. The iodine-replete healthy adult has about 15 to 20 milligrams of iodine, 70 to 80%, which is contained in the thyroid. Okay. So, what are the recommended intakes? Well, if you look at the RDA and things like that, which just gives you enough so that you're not deficient. It's the average, the RDA is the average daily level of intake sufficient to meet nutrient requirements. Adequate intake. Intake at this level is assumed to ensure nutritional adequacy. Established when evidence is insufficient to develop an RDA. An estimated average requirement is the average daily level of intake estimated to meet the requirements of 50% of healthy individuals. I don't know why they've broken it out this way, but they have. So, birth to 6 months, recommended daily intakes will be 110 micrograms, that's MCG. 7 to 12 months, about 130 micrograms. 1 to 3 years, about 90 micrograms. 4 to 8 years, 90 again. And then it goes up from 9 to 13 years. The tween years, 120 micrograms. Adolescence, 14 to 18 years of age, about 150 micrograms. 19 plus years, 150. With pregnancy, it's about 220 micrograms. And lactation, breastfeeding, about 290. We need more with lactation. Look at that. just like you actually need a little more calories nursing than you do when you're pregnant. That's right. So, sources of iodine. Let's get into this. Seaweed. If you're a fan of Asian cuisine, seaweed such as kelp, nori, kombu, wakame is one of the best food sources of iodine. But it's highly variable in its content. Other good sources are seafood, dairy products, which is partly due to the use of iodine feed supplements and iodophore sanitizing agents in the dairy industry. It's in grain products, it's in eggs as well. Let's see. Iodine is also present in human breast milk, infant formulas. So again, fruits and vegetables contain some iodine, but the amount will vary depending on the iodine content of the soil, fertilizer use, irrigation practices. Iodine concentrations in plant foods can range from as little as 10 micrograms per kilogram to 1 milligram per kilogram. This variability affects iodine content of meat and animal products because it affects the iodine content of the foods that the animals consume. The iodine content of different seaweed species also varies greatly. So here are some approximations in our foods, how to get your iodine. Seaweed. Wow. The micrograms per serving could be anywhere from 16 to 2,984. Seaweed, whole or a sheet, 1 gram. Codfish gives you about 99 micrograms. Yogurt, plain yogurt, about 75 micrograms. Iodized salt, about 71 micrograms. Now let me stop for a minute at iodized salt. A lot of people are using sea salt, Himalayan salt. They're not going to have the amount of iodine in something like iodized salt because the iodine has been added. Therefore, there will be some more, right? So, another reason we may be seeing more deficiency even in our own country, where you wouldn't think, right? It's not simply that people are moving more to a sea salt or a non-iodized salt. I think it has more to do with the amount of fluoride in our water supply. Fluoride completes with iodine in the body and can actually inhibit the uptake of that iodine by your thyroid if fluoride is present in a high enough amount. Our iodine deficiency may have more to do with the fluoride in the water. Something to think about. Let's see. Shrimp. 3 ounces of shrimp has 35 micrograms. One large egg has 24 micrograms. Tuna. 3 ounces of tuna has about 17. Prunes. About 5 prunes, dried. About 13 micrograms. An ounce of cheddar cheese is 12 micrograms. A half cup of lima beans, 8 micrograms. Green peas, half cup, 3 micrograms. A medium banana, about 3. So, more than 70 countries, including the United States and Canada, have salt iodization programs. As a result, approximately 70% of households worldwide use iodized salt, ranging from almost 90% of households in North and South America to less than 50% in Europe and the Eastern Mediterranean regions. Here in the U.S., manufacturers of salt have been adding iodine to table salt since the 1920s, and it's still a voluntary program. So, in the U.S., the FDA has approved potassium iodide, cuprous iodide for the iodization of salt, while the World Health Organization recommends the use of potassium iodate due to its greater stability, particularly tropical climates. I don't need to go this far with you here. So, according to its label, iodized salt in the U.S. contains about 45 micrograms per gram of salt. So that's between an eighth and a quarter of a teaspoon of salt. So, however, the majority of salt intake in the U.S. comes from processed foods. And food manufacturers almost always use non-iodized salt in processed foods. And if they do use iodized salt, they must list the salt as iodized in the ingredient list on the food label. That's good to know if you're a consumer of so many processed foods. So many multivitamin and mineral supplements contain iodine in the forms of potassium iodide, sodium iodide, and dietary supplements of iodine or iodine-containing kelp, which is a seaweed, are also available. So a small study found that potassium iodide is almost completely absorbed in humans by as much as 96.4%. So this is good. Iodine is typically measured using urinary iodine measurements. So it's about the excretion of iodine, how much we have an iodine, a urinary iodine test that we often use with our patients. It's very, very helpful. Let's see here. Iodine deficiency. Let's talk about it. Many has multiple adverse effects on growth and development and is the most common cause of preventable mental retardation in the world. Iodine deficiency disorders result from inadequate thyroid hormone production secondary to insufficient iodine. And during pregnancy and early infancy, iodine deficiency can cause irreversible effects. Now, under normal conditions, the body tightly controls thyroid hormone concentrations via TSH, thyroid stimulating hormone. Typically, TSH secretion increases when iodine intake falls below about 100 micrograms a day. TSH increases thyroidal iodine uptake from the blood, and it produces thyroid hormone. However, very low iodine intakes can reduce thyroid hormone production even in the presence of elevated TSH levels. So, if a person's iodine intake is falling below 10 to 20 micrograms a day, hypothyroidism may occur. And it's frequently accompanied by goiter. And goiter, that's swelling around the thyroid, your neck. Goiter is usually the earliest clinical sign of iodine deficiency. In pregnant women, iodine deficiency of this magnitude can cause major neurodevelopmental deficits and growth retardation in the fetus, as well as miscarriage and stillbirth. Chronic severe iodine deficiency in utero causes cretinism, a condition that's characterized by mental retardation, deaf mutism, motor spasticity, stunted growth, delayed sexual maturation, and other physical and neurological abnormalities. So, a less severe iodine deficiency can also cause neurodevelopmental deficits, such as somewhat lower than average intelligence as measured by IQ tests, and mild to moderate maternal iodine deficiency has been associated with an increased risk for attention deficit hyperactivity disorder in children. And in adults, mild to moderate iodine deficiency can cause goiter, as well as impaired mental function and work productivity secondary to hypothyroidism. Interesting. Chronic iodine deficiency may be associated with an increased risk of the follicular form of thyroid cancer. So, who are the groups at risk for iodine inadequacy? Usually it was endemic in mountainous regions of the United States and Mexico, and in the so-called goiter belt around the Great Lakes. Thanks to a more national food supply, iodine, salt, and other factors, iodine deficiency is now pretty uncommon. But worldwide, deficiency remains a public health problem in 47 countries and about 2.2 billion people, which is 38% of the world's population. They live in areas of iodine deficiency. So, people who don't use iodized salt, the use of iodized salt is the most widely used strategy to control iodine deficiency. Now, being a nutritionist, I say to you, make sure there's some iodine in your multivitamin. That should pretty much cover it. So you don't have to use iodized salt if you prefer sea salt, Celtic sea salt, Himalayan pink salt, and all the others, which may have other trace minerals which are beneficial. So, very important to remember this about iodine and your health. It's important for childhood functioning, a healthy pregnancy, in fibrocystic breast disease. So, remember that it's a very important trace mineral, and you may not be getting adequate amounts, not for lack of use of iodized salt, or definitely because you're not taking a supplement that contains it, but it could be the fluoridation of our water system. So this is something to keep in mind going forward. I want to thank you for joining me on another edition of Layla Weighs In, here on Intelligent Medicine.
This episode of Intelligent Medicine is brought to you by Carlson Fish Oils. Fish oil provides the vital omega-3s, EPA and DHA, which support cardiovascular, brain and nerve, vision, immune system, joint, and skin health. Carlson ensures maximum freshness by managing their fish oils from sea to shelf. All Carlson fish oils are tested by an FDA-registered laboratory for freshness, potency, and purity, and they're available in soft gels and liquid form. For more information, go to carlsonlabs.com. Carlson fish oils are available at fine health food stores nationwide.
This is Layla Mudin, RD. I see patients regularly, along with Dr. Hoffman. If you require a nutrition consult with me but live out of town, there's no need to travel to New York City. I have telephone consultations with clients from all over the country. Please visit drhoffman.com for more information. And to set up an appointment, call 212-779-1744. That's 212-779-1744. I look forward to being a collaborator in your healthcare.